my God, to this generation. God has tremendously used him in so many ways to be a blessing to the nations of the world. No stranger to us, tonight God has given us another privilege to hear his word through his vessel. House of Treasures Ministries, Ownership Conference 2022, South Africa and the rest of the world. Please help me welcome the ministry gift of Apostle Joshua Selman. Hallelujah! Celebrate the man of God.
Appear before the Lord in Zion. Apostle Felix, thank you. Thank you and your lovely wife. God's servant, Apostle Anselm, God bless you, sir. I honor you and your dear wife and every man of God here. I honor you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Much less love and beauty and less worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. You're the holder of my future days to come. So all my days on earth I will await. The moment that I see you face to face. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your marvelous presence. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for your word. Tonight I pray that you will reveal Jesus in a mighty and marvelous way. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Let Jesus be revealed in South Africa.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
One more time.
I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. See, you couldn't find nobody.
One more time, I say revelation.
I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Nobody prayed. Nobody prayed. Nobody prayed than you. Nobody prayed.
Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus. I believe in His word. I believe in His power. I believe in His counsel. Tonight, God will do you good in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You pray for 1 minute before you sit. Father, give me an encounter. An encounter by your spirit tonight. Someone is praying. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Give me an encounter. Give me an encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Please sit.
Forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty. Forever I am changed by your word, in the presence of your majesty. Forever I am changed by your love, in the presence of your majesty. We want to see you here. We want to see you now. We want to see you face to face, oh God. Surrounded by your glory, feasting at your table. We want to see you face to face.
You see, let me tell you something about the presence of God. There is a protocol to His manifested presence. The Bible says, come before him with singing. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. The Bible mandates that you come before him with singing. Hallelujah. And you see, these songs, I'm not just wasting your time. These songs, there is an anointing upon them as I raise them. I'm not a musician. I sing these things as I hear them in my spirit.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Psalms 115 and verse 14, please be seated. We began our discussion from yesternight, discussing on matters that make for increase and enlargement. And may I please request that you get these teachings again and listen to them, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. There are two kinds of hearing there. There is the hearing that brings awareness. There is the hearing that brings understanding. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by the hearing that brings awareness, then the hearing that brings understanding. Psalms 115 leaves us with a prophetic word that the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. We did discuss yesterday that more and more is the prophetic destiny of everyone in Christ. There are implications to your being in Christ. Among them is the advantage to be as the shining light that shines ever brighter, even unto the perfect day. That means in God's economy, there should never be a better yesterday. Hallelujah. You should always outdo every day before. It should be an unveiling of excellence, an unveiling of grace and glory. But I did tell us that there are pathways and there are requirements if you are to experience increase and enlargement. One of it is that you must sustain the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Hallelujah. The ability to perceive spiritual reality accurately, to hear the sights and the sounds of the Spirit. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. God is always speaking expressly, and our inability to hear him per time, per season, can cost us the next levels of our lives. Hallelujah. Number two, this morning we discussed the warfare dimension of increase and enlargement. We did establish from scripture that there are no barren or empty lands. There are always occupants in every land. Hallelujah. And we must sustain the intelligence and the technology that empowers us to dislodge the enemies and to take possession. Hallelujah. I did tell us that warfare is necessary in the life of the believer. Jesus was clear as to the fact that we are not alone in this side of his kingdom. He made it very clear that the devil and his cohorts are here consistently attempting to fight the church. He says, and I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell. He acknowledges the presence of the arsenals of darkness called the gates of hell. Paul was speaking and he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world and spiritual wickedness that reside in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. He said, this charge I give unto you, my son Timothy, that you war a good warfare with the prophecy that has been spoken unto you. A great door and an effectual, he said, has been opened, but many are the adversaries. We considered from the Gospel of Luke how that Jesus Christ said, let us go to the other side. And it was because of his desire to go to the other side, there was a storm of wind. I'm recapping on the morning's teaching. And I did tell us that a storm is made up of two sides. There is the visible and the invisible part, the wind and the water. Hallelujah. And that in addressing storms, Jesus teaches us that the first port of call is to rebuke the wind. The parts that you cannot see, because the water is powered by the wind. Hallelujah. And then when he got to the other side, the Bible tells us that he saw this madman who had been bound with the prophetic destiny of an evangelist. It was in his destiny to save a Decapolis, but he was incapacitated by this myriads of spirits. And Jesus set that man free and returned back. So in the mind of Jesus, setting that one man free was the same thing as holding a crusade in 10 cities. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I did tell you that there are certain attacks in your life that is not a sin issue. It's a destiny issue. He said, who sinned that this man was born blind? And he said, neither. Not him, nor his father. There are many attacks you will never experience until you take God seriously. So there are many people who have never gone through anything, no challenge, nothing. And they think it's because they are specially immune. It's just because the devil has vetted you and he has not seen your relevance to be a threat. Because the demons testified and they said, Jesus, I know. They said, Paul, I know. So they acknowledge that there are people they know. He said, but you are a stranger. Who are you? You are carrying a semblance of one who seems to have a track record in the spirit, but we do not find that in your life. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Joshua Selman, I know. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's important for us to understand how this works. That warfare is necessary. Listen very carefully. And you must master the art of warfare. I gave us three keys. Number one, the first rule of engagement, as far as the warfare that makes for your enlargement is concerned, is discernment. Because you need to learn to read the writings on the wall so that you do not fight something that is your vehicle to the next level. It takes discernment to know whether you should thank God for what you are seeing or fight it. Because there are many, many good things that carry a semblance of evil. If Joseph prayed against the prison, he would remain at best Potiphar's servant. There are some things that are not demonic. So before you begin to pray, and you know, there's a lot of ignorance in the body of Christ. We just pray anything and everything. I'm sure that if we were related to Jesus, you would have prayed to bind any spirit that would take him to the cross. Peter tried it, and Jesus rebuked the devil. Can you imagine the response of Jesus from the compassion of a man? You would not die. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Sounds like a compassionate statement, but it's a proposal to abort redemption. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. He says, and when thou art converted, use this strategy of discernment to strengthen your brethren. The power of God was only designed to fight what is against the will of God. The power of God cannot fight what is consistent with the will of God. Are we together? So, the power of God does not operate carelessly. It vets whether that which you want it to fight is consistent with the will of God. Hallelujah. So, discernment. We need to pray for the spirit of discernment to come upon the body of Christ, so that the things we should cry about, we don't laugh. And the things we should laugh about, we don't cry. There are many, many things that may be uncomfortable, but they carry within them the seed for the next level of your destiny. It is your responsibility to be discerning. What meaneth this thing, O God? This that looks like a closed door, could it be your mercy keeping me from being prematurely exposed? Because I do not have the capacity to defend the attacks that come with my increase. Not every closed door is demonic, and not every open door is godly. Satan also opens doors. Hallelujah. Just because a door is open, even the door that leads you into a prison has to be open. So be careful where you are entering. Because just because the door is open, there are many people who have followed open doors into perdition. There are many people who have frowned at closed doors that was a system of defense to protect them until their season of appearing. And John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearing. You would call Moses' being in Egypt a disadvantage, but that was the place of security where he learned the wisdom of Egypt, the Bible says. Discernment. Number two, joy. The second key to warring for victory is joy. There is a big difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is circumstantial, based on your impulses and based on your ideas. If your ideas perceive a thing to be pleasant, you will be happy towards it. But joy is of the Spirit. It takes the Holy Ghost to be joyful. The Bible says it is joy in the Holy Ghost. There are many times you are joyful and it does not make sense because nothing around you seems to align. I told you that joy is a token of reception in the Spirit. When your spirit has received something, it does not wait for your mind to understand. Your spirit begins to rejoice. Sometimes it can rejoice 1 year in advance. Hallelujah. And number three, the third key, and this is a major one. We war in this kingdom through the power of priesthood. You must understand the mysteries of the altar. Are we together now? An altar is a system of authorization. Listen very carefully. If you do not understand the mystery of activating altars, including the altar of priesthood, the victory will be impossible. Listen, God's throne in heaven, he sits upon an altar. The very throne that you call the throne of grace is an altar. You must understand the mysteries of prayer. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, from verse 1, that he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says that you pray without ceasing. It doesn't necessarily mean pray from morning till night. It means be consistent. Are we together now? Yes. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I didn't advise you on this. I prayed for you. Let me tell you this. Prayerlessness is pride.
One of the highest expressions of humility is to be prayerful, because that means you acknowledge the authority of the government above you and you acknowledge your inadequacy outside of its influence. When you pray, it's a sign of humility. Jesus himself was teaching them how to pray, and he says when you approach prayer, approach it with this consciousness. Number one, you are praying to Abba. It's important who you approach. He is Abba. Abba means your source, your sustainer, and your defender. That means there is no plan B. If you do not help me, I do not have any help anywhere. Then he says, which art in heaven. That means genuine prayer will demand faith, because it does not reside within your domain. Number three, he said, hallowed be your name. Come with the spirit of reverence. Let your confidence not turn to arrogance. If although he's your father, he's still the God of the universe. Hallowed be your name. Then he says, your kingdom come. The governing influence of the kingdom, let it find expression. In earth, not on earth. In earth, the first earth being you. Thy kingdom come by your will being done. Do you know why he told you to focus on the kingdom? Because give us this day, and the other prayers are only necessary because the kingdom has not really come. When the kingdom finds its influence, you would not need to pray, give us this day. The economy of God already has within it sufficiency program. So he says you can pray for your daily bread, but focus on the arrival of the kingdom. Because when the governing influence of the king finds expression within your life and domain, there will be no lack. You don't pray, give us this day in heaven. No, there is no need for that. Adam never prayed, give us this day in Eden. Everywhere the kingdom of God finds expression, there is no scarceness. Your daily bread is not food. Your daily bread is everything that makes for your efficiency. Wisdom can be your daily bread. Finances can be your daily bread. So when he says, give us your daily bread, the word bread there means it, that which helps to keep you sufficient and efficient. Prayer. Is someone learning now? We must learn how to pray. And I told you there are many realms and dimensions in prayer. When you get to the realm of prophetic intercession, at that point you are no longer praying for your needs. God begins to reveal to you burdens over territories. And you will rise to a level where you become a watchman in the spirit. There are gatekeepers in the spirit who are trusted with the keys of nations. God will never do anything in that territory and keep you in the dark. He says, shall I hide this from Abraham? There can be the spirit of poverty or witchcraft plaguing a family somewhere. And when God comes into that domain, he can count on you. He can wake you up, and you are praying about people and things you do not even know. You have been such a worthy and dependable ally. But there are rewards for that. You will hardly need to pray for anything for yourself. The intercessor has a reward, because intercession is a seed. There is a harvest that follows you. South Africa, we agreed that the purposes of God will always seem threatened by the arsenals of darkness. And until we find men and women who understand the mysteries of the altar and the mysteries of priesthood, the program of God can never be advanced within that territory. We agreed that God will raise men and women of prayer, not need-driven prayer. Prayer that is, you are standing upon the altar and you are seeing to it that the purposes of God is birthed within a territory and within life. So you can go and pray for 3 days, 7 days, and you are not part of the prayer request. You are not part of the prayer point. In fact, it does not have a prayer point. You pray until the witness of peace is established in your heart. It is only when we get to heaven you will see people saying thank you. And you say, for what? And say, you saved my life. You saved my business. When did that happen? In your prophetic intercession, you were securing the destinies of many. Is someone learning? Now let's see what God is going to help us do tonight. I was praying and I saw a lot of impartations happening here tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight and tomorrow I want you to pay attention. Pay very close attention to what God does in your life. An impartation is a transference of spiritual possibilities. When he sends a word to Jacob, he intends that it be lightened upon Israel. Are we together? Give us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. The third key, number one, is the hearing eye and the seeing ear. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. Number two is the power of warfare. Number three is the prophetic. I want to teach you tonight the role that the prophetic plays in the enlargement and the increase of the saints. Give us understanding in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible begins by saying the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to the Lord. Listen closely. It says, but the earth has he given to the children of men. The implication of that statement is that nothing happens on earth except on and unless there is a man to walk in partnership with either the God of heaven or Satan. Whether it is Satan or the God of heaven, there must be a midwife called man. And I don't have the time. I would have taught you what it means to be man. Because for you to be a man, you first must be a spirit. You can't be a man if you are not a spirit. A man is a spirit. And that spirit must be hosted in a physical body, material body. And that spirit must have the solical faculties that connect the spirit and the body. This is the condition to be a man. So just because you have a physical body, a goat is not a man. A cow is not a man. It does not pass the test. Are we together now? This is very powerful. Even when the God of heaven needed to come into this domain, he had to patiently wait until a virgin donated her womb. He pleaded with Joseph, I understand your passion to marry. Can you be patient for 9 months? Let me arrive first and then you can continue whatever it is that you're doing. Can you imagine that? Zechariah asked the same question that Mary asked. He was punished. She was preserved. She said, how shall these things be seen that I know not a man? And Gabriel explained meticulously. Zechariah said, well, how shall these things happen? And he said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. And he shut his mouth. Can you imagine that? That was how far God took out time to make sure that a material body was prepared. He said, a body hast thou prepared. And then Jesus was born. One of the reasons why we believe he's coming back is because he does not need a virgin to give him a body again. He ascended with that same body. So he has satisfied the law of territory. He can return any day. The body he will use is already there. Are we blessed? So the earth has he given to the children of men. That means anything that has to do with this domain, this side of God's kingdom, it takes God in partnership with men. Listen very carefully. It is not all up to God, and it is not all up to men. He has the power to do everything without men, but he has so chosen and designed his economy to run depending on men. If you do not understand this, you will not see the value of men and even the prophetic in your accessing new territories and dimensions. Hallelujah. Are we together? When Jesus was born, in his entire lifetime, even though he was the Word incarnate, there were 3 prophets that he had to encounter for his mission to be successful. Prophet number 1
was Simeon the prophet. Prophet number two was Anna the prophetess. Prophet number three was John the prophet. You call him the Baptist. Jesus had to encounter these three ministries, and every one of them had the roles that they played in his life. Are we together now? As powerful as Abraham was, he had to encounter this strange one called Melchizedek, the king of an ancient city called Salem. Saul remained supposedly a nonentity until he encountered Samuel. And even Samuel had to encounter Eli. Listen very carefully. I know that the prophetic and the apostolic ministry sadly has had its share of imbalances here and there, and you know, all kinds of issues. But make no mistake to ignore the prophetic. You ignore the prophetic, you have postponed many, many aspects of your growth. Hallelujah. Jesus, in teaching and revealing to Paul, Paul began to give us the structure of the church. That the church was built with a formula that not even God has violated. Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone. And that the moment you encounter Jesus, there are two mysterious ministries you must encounter to rise: the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Is that in your Bible? That something will inevitably be wrong with your growth as a structure if you encounter Jesus, the cornerstone, and you do not encounter the apostolic and the prophetic. I don't mean the apostolic and the prophetic by title. You must encounter these ministries. Are we together now? There is a prophetic dimension to your stepping into the place of destiny. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out. Who brought them out? The Lord. But he said, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he, Israel, preserved. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet was he preserved. In Exodus chapter 14, it's a long reading, just write for reference. When you read from verse 1 to 31, it archives the exodus of the nation of Israel from Egypt. After they were left to go, the Bible says Pharaoh told the people, get your chariots and make sure that you stand to return them back. That means he was under an influence greater than him to have allowed them go. Because he suddenly turned and it was as though a spell was cast on him. And he said, go back and bring them. They stood before the Red Sea and the Egyptians were behind them. And they cried and cried and began to complain to Moses. Moses calmed them down and went to the Lord. He said, Lord, what do I do? And he says, tell the people that they go forward. Moses, why are you crying to me? Do you not know the office that you occupy and the implication as far as bringing advancement to people? Tell the people that they go forward. Moses looked at them with confidence and they marched forward, and the Egyptians trying to pursue them, they were drowned by the sea, and Miriam wrote her song. That song was so powerful, even in heaven we will sing it. It's called the Song of Miriam. She said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, that even the horses and his rider has been thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. A prophet led them unto the place of destiny. All through scripture you find the prophetic ministry providing guidance, helping people to access certain dimensions in life. The young boy Samuel, who would later become a mighty prophet, was lying down close to the ark, naive and ignorant, and a voice called him. His prophetic destiny was going to be revealed, but he didn't have the understanding. It is very strange that God used the voice of Eli to call Samuel. If it was a loud voice somewhere, he would run and say, I had a voice somewhere. He ran to Eli and said, you called me. So God uses the voice of the prophets to call. It was God calling, but what Samuel heard was the voice of Eli. And he went and he said, no, go back to bed. And he called again. And he said, I know that pattern. The next time he speaks, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. When John the prophet saw Jesus Christ, listen carefully, and he said, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He said, I am not worthy to untie even the latchets of your shoe. Jesus made a profound statement. He said, suffer it to be so. In other words, this is an ordinance. If I ignore your ministry, although I am the word, I will not rise. He said, suffer it to be so that scripture may be fulfilled. Do you know that Jesus, your Jesus, walked under a closed heaven for 30 years? Just because he was the word of God, did not even open his heaven. Go and read your Bible. When he submitted to the ministry of that prophet, and they dipped him in water and he came out, your Bible says, and the heavens opened. And then there was a statement, this is my beloved son. Who was he before? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen, and a verdict was given to creation. Hear ye him. Everywhere he went, everything heard him. The fish in the sea heard him. Everything heard him because there was a divine instruction. Twice at the transfiguration, that voice again said, hear him. Listen, you can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is conferred upon you by another. If you do not understand the role that the prophetic plays in actualizing your destiny, when Paul, listen, as Saul, on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, the Bible said he saw a light. Is that true? And he fell. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, who art thou, Lord? He said, you cannot kick against the pricks. And he got up, he was blind. And he told him to go to the house of Judah, and it will be told him what to do there. He went to that city, that road called straight to the house of Ananias and remained there. When Ananias saw him, he said, Brother Paul, you would think that after encountering Jesus, you would never need a man again. Why do you need another man when you've met Jesus? Jesus referred him back to a man for the continuation of his growth process. And when Ananias saw him, he said, the same Jesus who appeared to you, he sent me that I will open your eyes and that you'll be filled with the Spirit. Two things. As mighty as Paul was, it took a man to help him encounter God and open his eyes physically and grant him access to the Spirit. Is someone learning? This is the missing link to many, many, many believers' destinies. We have ignored the prophetic, either because we have been told that all you need is Jesus Christ directly. You are right, but you are very wrong. You are right because all that we need in truth is Jesus. But as far as the dynamics of walking and living in the cosmos is concerned, you ignore the prophetic, you are making a very serious mistake. If God says yes, and a man says no, yes will remain in the realm of the spirit. You will see it in your dreams, you will have visions of it, but it will never manifest. The formula is the spirit and the bride say come. Not the spirit alone. If the spirit says be healed, there must be a bride on earth that echoes it back, be healed. If the spirit says be lifted, there must be the bride on earth that says be lifted. Sit down, please. Ezekiel 37. Please pray in the spirit in 1 minute.
Praise Saladesh.
Just help those under the anointing. Halesh Talem Brahaskaziba Lekosha Bria Katoska Diba. Mande la Kosha Bratiskiya Dabanados. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please give us Ezekiel 37, beginning from verse 1. Please follow very carefully. Let me show you how realities are established in the earth realm. Moreover, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel now, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now listen carefully. That valley was full of bones. It did not start as bones. Those bones were once people. Something happened. There was a condition they ignored that began to deteriorate them until they now became bones. God was about to teach us something about the operation of the prophetic and the manifestation of realities. Please pay attention. Verse 2. Give us verse 2, media. Let's walk together. Verse 2 now. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Dry means they had been in that condition for a long time. Please look at me. Time does not change anything. Time only reveals. Waiting for time to change things is a total waste of time. Your encounter with God's system, His modus operandi, is what can change seasons in your life. Seasons do not change because of the passage of time. The Bible says, listen carefully, He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. That means the day is not when the sun rises, the day is when your light comes. The moment your light comes, it is called day, even if it's 12 midnight. Day is the presence of light, not the rotation of time. You can be in the afternoon, but if you are in darkness, the bankruptcy of light, it is still night. And weeping is always associated with night. So you can choose today to be your day. He called the light day. So when you say day in the spirit, listen carefully. Day does not mean it is 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Day means my light has come. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light is come. Amplified says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light. Please sit down. He said unto me, let's go back to Ezekiel 37. Something is about to happen here. 37, now verse 3. Ezekiel. He caused me to pass by them round about, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord God, only thou knowest. The prophet was not, listen, for Ezekiel, being in the realm of the spirit, was not something that was strange to him. But this kind of condition, he said, God, only you. I cannot even, not even with my prophetic pedigree, I can't comment on this. And then he said unto me, prophesy. Prophesy upon these bones. Listen carefully. And say unto them. That means everything is alive. It would be foolish for God to tell you to speak to something that could not hear. In the economy of God, death does not withdraw your ability to hear. The ability to hear remains, even if life is not there. Listen, the Bible says God calls things, not people. You can call conditions to your life and conditions away from your life. You can call men into your life and men out of your life. You can call things that be not. Be not does not mean it is not in existence. It is there. It is merely a system of transporting it from one dimension to the dimension needed. Please listen. He said unto me, prophesying to these bones, say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Yes, next verse. I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay scales upon you and bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and know that I am the Lord your God. Now hold on please. Did you know that God was telling him what to hear, what to say? The bones were hearing the voice of God, yet they did not move. The bones were part of the discussion. They heard what God was telling the prophet to say, and the bones did not react. Until the prophet says, so I prophesy as I was commanded. Just because God said it does not mean it will happen. The prophet, the one on earth here, had to now speak. I prophesy as I was commanded. I prophesy as it is written. I prophesy. Listen carefully, please. He said, so I prophesy as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And they shaking, and bone came together, and business came together, and ministry came together, and dimension came together. Listen, everything that is missing, they know where to find themselves, but there is a sound they are looking for. And until you know how to produce that sound, creation has not been disobedient. It is the sound they were authorized to respect. You have not yet released the sound. The dry bones have been waiting for a sound. There is a sound that must come from the earth that causes creation to respond. Weeping is not the sound they are waiting for. Lamentation is not the sound they are waiting for. Regret is not the sound they are waiting for. I prophesied. I prophesied. I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied. Son of man, can this business live again? Son of man, can this family live again? Son of man, can this ministry, can this mantle return to you again? Oh, Samson, forget about what happened with Delilah. There is hope for a tree that even if it cuts short at the scent of water. Now watch this. The Bible says the things that are written aforetime, they are for our learning, so that we too comfort, the patience and comfort of Scripture might find hope. That means the things that are written, it's a tutorial to teach you how to make spiritual reality become manifest. Don't worry about the distance between bone and bone. There is a law in creation that can bring them from Nigeria to South Africa, from US to South Africa. Yours is to prophesy. Where will the helpers come? Prophesy. Where will the financiers come? Prophesy.
prophesy. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise. There was a shaking, and that business began to respond. Listen, please hear me. Scientists and wonderful people like Einstein were able to reduce life and created an equation that helped us to reconcile everything that we see, that regardless the form, it is all matter and energy. Listen carefully. That means when you reduce life to its finest, it doesn't matter where you start, it will all arrive at the same location. That energy, the creative force. Do you know creation has never been disobedient? No. But every spiritual reality has a sound that has been connected to it. Listen. And based on the wisdom of God, until creation hears that sound, they are not authorized to respond in a certain way. So, the condition that you are looking for exists. Not in your domain, but it exists. Are we together? But there is a technology of transporting that spiritual reality into your domain. The increase, the enlargement. These are not things that God is about to create. They are realities already in the realm of the spirit. But most of us have ignored the power of prophecy. Please sit down. Let me tie something up. Hallelujah. Now please look up. Everyone in Christ, listen carefully. Everyone in Christ has been so constructed that there is a dormant prophetic dimension within you. And the basis for the possibility of being prophetic is the presence of that which is written. The scripture hidden in a man's heart and declared upon the lips of faith is able to turn any man to operate prophetically. Please listen. The presence of that which is written has given every man the possibility to operate prophetically. That means I can take that which is written, meaning that which is consistent with the will of God, and then I can speak it with conviction. I'm not speaking it to remind myself. It is a law. I am speaking it because when creation hears that sound, it has been mandated to respond in a certain way. Please understand what I'm teaching you. Are we together now? But then there is your interaction with the prophetic ministry. That every one of us is prophetic by reason of our encounter with the Word of God. That affords you the possibility to begin to utter things and even to call things that be not as though they were. That is one level. There is another level where you are exposed to contact the prophetic ministry. And there are two dimensions to that level. Listen carefully. Number one, there is the revelatory dimension of the prophetic ministry. The assignment of the revelatory dimension of the prophetic ministry is to grant you access to the mind of God as predefined for your situation, and then to build your faith. So, if I begin to prophesy to you under the influence of the Spirit, God will expose things and give you direction and help you. Are we together now? Now, within the boundary of scripture, it is an excellent dimension of ministry. And don't you let anyone downplay that. The prophetic can resolve matters of decades in 5 minutes. Because you are accessing intelligence that is beyond the realm of science. But the most superior dimension of the prophetic as revealed in scripture is the creative dimension. The creative dimension of the prophetic does not reveal what will happen. It makes it happen. Are we together? Let me have two gentlemen. Any of the two people? No. It's not an invitation. Come. Stand here. You stand here. Okay. Please, let's have someone else. Sorry about his son, that the anointing. Just one person and that's fine. Thank you, Colin. Thank you. Just help the gentleman. Now, watch this. This guy, both of them are about to be exposed to the prophetic ministry. Now, listen carefully. Let us assume, hide this at the back of your hand. Yes. Let's assume that God reveals to me that this man is holding a handkerchief. And I say, gentlemen, you are holding a handkerchief. That is the revelatory dimension of the prophetic. Are we together? Provided it is within the boundary of scripture, it is profitable. So I reveal it to him and connect it to something that God is doing in his life. Now, whether I revealed it or not, he has it. Now, let me tell you about the prophetic. I can look at this man and creatively tell you, tomorrow, someone is going to bring you a car. Hold on. I am not announcing what would have happened anyway. It is that word that will make it happen. That means this man has no business having a car. But I use the prophetic to program a climate of favor above him. Listen. This is the dimension I want you to encounter this night. Are we together? Listen carefully. So, this man will receive that word and say amen. Now watch this. For the sake of explanation, do you understand what I'm teaching now? I'm just going to use this to act. Nothing. Are we together now? Now, let's assume that what I released upon him was this. Now, this is spiritual, so you may not see it. He's now shed the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he just left the service. He thought he left empty. He didn't know that there is something here. Watch this now. This guy is going around Johannesburg, and he does not know that what is on him is calling something to his life. Please listen. Listen. So, can I use you? Please come. This guy is a billionaire businessman who has no business meeting this man. No business. This word that is on him, this is where this man is going. But because of what was spoken, it will turn him and make sure that both of them get to meet. They didn't have a business meeting, but the creative dimension of the prophetic word, it coordinates that movement to ensure, listen, the spirit of wisdom is the movie director behind this. The word has been prophesied, and this guy, while he's in his room, the spirit of God tells him, I'm going to demand of you to give someone a car. He was not in the service. And the moment he says, yes, Lord, I obey you. If this guy says, Lord, I will not obey, the Spirit of God will lead him and go and look for another person. Out of the 7.6 billion people on earth, not everybody will tell him no. There will be someone who will say yes. So this guy will meet this man and receive that car and return back and say, you said it. And both the speaker and the recipient are both surprised.
Because in prophesying, he was not revealing what will happen. He was creating a possibility that did not exist. Are we together? Has someone gotten this now? Yes. Listen. This is the reason why God is called a maker. God does not wait for made people and say, come. When you understand this as a man of God, you will not sit down and put yourself under the burden and say, where are the wealthy people? Come. No. There is something God gave you that you release on ordinary people. Gentlemen, good afternoon. And he thought he just shook you. You go. He does not even know what has come upon him. He will leave and go somewhere and someone says, I remember you. No. You don't just remember. You are made to remember. You see that? I'm saying this because something is about to rest upon you this night. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. The assignment of the prophetic is to program a spiritual climate consistent with what God wants to do in your life. Now, thank you, Colin. You will understand the scripture I'm about to bring and then we'll pray. 2 Kings 7. I don't want to start reading from chapter 6. You know what happened. There was a gross famine in Samaria. Watch this. Did you know that when there was famine, there were two people who did not face the famine? The king and the prophet. Two of them were exempted. There was no mention of Elisha in hunger to say, what do I do? When he came and saw two women, they boiled their child. Do you know that that is out there? That was not a parable. You know what it means for a mother to boil her child and eat because of hunger? And Elisha said, no. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, you see, the man who was an aide to the king was a foolish man. He would have researched who Elisha was first before responding. If Elisha was a comedian, he would have said, oh, that's all right. These guys are just, they are trying to make people happy because people are sad. He made a very funny statement. The Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be the arrogance of men? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it, so that you will confirm that God is not a liar, but you will not eat of it. Now, how it happened is where the real miracle is. It was not an army that went to fight. The Spirit of God kept hovering around Samaria to find willing people. And it found a fearful people. And it went to four lepers. The lepers, next verse please. The lepers said to one another, they didn't even know what was moving them. Why do we sit here and die? They didn't know that the Holy Spirit was the originator of that discussion. Like the man who just felt like expanding his company. He did not just feel like. Prophecy had come that there must be room for you. And that prophecy began to meet the man to expand. So that there will be space for you. If we say we will enter into the city, there is famine in the city. We will die. If we sit here, we will also die. Now let's go and fall into the hands of the Syrians. If they save us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will die. Watch this. Next verse. Verse 5. They rose up at twilight and went unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp, behold, there was no man there. All of this drama
because of one word, by this time tomorrow. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots from lepers. Lepers that were coming to give themselves and say, spare us. The noise of horses, a noise of great hosts. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the Hittites. Look at what was happening to their imagination. They had gone to a point of naming the possible people who were coming to fight them. Verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. Verse 8. And when these lepers came, they went into one tent and eat and drink and carried silver and gold. Now watch this. If they had told those people, by the next day you would be so prosperous. There are certain levels of prosperity that is not what you have done, it's where you went to. What did you encounter that took your business to this level? Thank God for the value that you provide, but there is a prophetic dimension to the advancement of men. Please, believers, hear me. This happened to lepers because a prophet prophesied and said, by this time, if he said by this time next week, you would have to wait that 1 week. If he had said by this time in the evening, that thing that happened to the lepers, the tomorrow, would have started happening immediately. The prophetic is very powerful. That is why when God grants people access to the prophetic, they will be judged for the misuse of it, because it carries tremendous power. The power to destroy and even the power to make. Are we together? You can ruin the lives of people through the misuse of the prophetic, but you can build nations and cities through the power of the prophetic. Please listen to me. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, now the earth was dark, it was void, it was formless, and darkness hovered round the face of the waters. Are we together now? The Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters. It comes from the word tohu wa bohu, confusion and chaos. And then in Genesis 1 verse 3, the Bible says, and Elohim said, light be. Watch this now. Let me show you the character of the prophetic. Please give us Genesis 1, 3. And God said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was. The only reason why there was light was because it was light, he said, should be. If he said, let there be laughter, there would be laughter. If he said, let there be a new season, the Bible says, and God said, and there was. And God said, not and God thought, not and God wished, and God said, and there was. Verse 4, he said, and he saw that what he said was good. That is the ultimate test of spiritual power. God said, there was, he saw that it was good. God said, and the Bible says, that as he is, so are we in this life. That means if we are to create realities like he did, we must say, and it must happen, and we must see that it is good. These four tests. God said, it was, he saw, and it was good. Because it is every good and perfect gift
that cometh from above. Is that true? Please listen. If you do not understand the power of the prophetic, you will never be able to step into virgin realms and dimensions. The first dimension of the prophetic, I repeat again, being your personal responsibility to take advantage of that which is written and to create possibilities in your life. The presence of Scripture has turned every man into an expression of prophetic possibilities. That means I can stay with the Word of God and I find from Scripture, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, it shall come to pass if thou shalt diligently, are we together now? If thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord to observe and to do all that I command you this day, it says that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations. How many? All the nations of the earth. And that this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. I have a responsibility to believe it and then to begin to declare that in the name of Jesus, I'm exalted above the nations of the earth. That when men say there is a casting down, for you the Bible says there is a lifting up. But it will not happen because it is written. It will happen because what is written is spoken. John said, I am the voice. He is the word, but you must give it expression through your speaking. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the blessed of the Lord say so. Let the anointed of the Lord say so. Let the enlarged of the Lord say so.
I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way to better days. I'm on my way to better days. Status is changing. There's no more decline. I'm on my way to better days.
Listen, as at the time you are prophesying, you may be in one room or with a membership of 10 people, but you lock up yourself and you put on that priestly regalia, knowing that creation responds to the sound of the prophetic. You now begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I am the head and not the tail. I declare that I am above and not beneath. 1,000 shall fall by my side, 10,000 by my right side. None shall hurt me. With my eyes will I see the reward of the wicked. I decree and declare, I am planted in the house of the Lord. Therefore, I flourish in the courts of our God. That in old age, I am fat and flourishing. Gentiles come to my light, and their kings to the brightness of my rising. For my shame, I receive double. Where I have been deserted, so that no man will pass through me, I become an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Watch, I cannot fear what man does to me.
Listen. Listen. Can I tell you? This is the control room of possibilities.
I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied knowing that what is written can become my experience when I speak with understanding. There are many people who do not have results but will argue with spiritual principles again and again, even to their detriment. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I find favor with kings. The favor of the Lord is upon me. I am Beulah and I am Hephzibah, a well-watered garden. In the name of Jesus, over this ministry the Lord has given, I receive the ministry of men. Help us rise even by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am given a wisdom and a mouthpiece that no enemy can gainsay nor resist. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I am indicting a good matter in my heart. My path is as a shining light. Listen,
while you are in that lowly estate, creating your possibilities and enlarging your tent, the angels who are ministering spirits sent to minister today that be the heirs of salvation, the instruction comes through prophetic words and they receive it. They enter your future like ushers and begin to design possibilities and realities. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, those who understand this principle of the prophetic dimension of the Word of God, number one, they take personal prophetic responsibility. And then number two, now listen carefully. When God wants to help you and open new seasons and enlarge you, listen carefully. Not every prophetic grace and office and mantle is for your rising. It is your responsibility to discern the one sent to you. Listen carefully. The Bible says there were many widows in Zarephath. That means there were other widows that Elijah passed. How are you, ma? How are you? And he had no ministry to them. But he went to a specific one and changed her life. I have told you that when God wants to lift and enlarge you, he shortens the distance between you and the prophetic mantle sent to you. Hallelujah. Happy is the man that encounters the prophetic grace sent to him, because it will work wonders in a moment. It is true. Hallelujah. You are gathered here tonight honoring this conference because you know and you believe that the power of the prophetic can shift you. Listen, let me tell you this. You didn't come all these days and even until now to waste your time. The prophetic can resolve. Listen, let me tell you what the prophetic does. The prophetic is timeless. Are we together? That means it can go into your yesterday and find out what would have happened that did not happen and bring it into your tomorrow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The prophetic sustains dominion above time. That means if there is a dimension of favor and increase that would have happened in 2018, and either for discernment, for lack of discernment or ignorance, it did not happen to you, the prophetic sustains the power by the Spirit to reach into that realm and reprogram it. Listen, when you use the GPS system and you're driving, if you are supposed to turn left and you make a mistake and turn right, what does it do? It recalculates how you must get there. Oh, rejoice not over me, my enemies. The prophetic is still available to reprogram the climate of my life, to reprogram the climate of my business, to reprogram the climate of my destiny, to ensure that enlargement speaks in my life. Now listen, please. Now listen. We're about to pray. I sense the anointing upon me. Now listen, please. Please pay attention. One of my many encounters with the Lord Jesus. Please listen carefully. Listen. I wish I were not the one saying this. I don't share too many of my encounters. I just repeat the ones that people know and have heard. But in one of these encounters, I was dressed. When God is lifting me and promoting me in the spirit, I would usually see myself dressed in the attire of a military man. And then the same way you come and decorate a man, that is what I see. Now listen, please. A time came in my life when God did something to my lips that when I open my mouth and utter the prophetic word of God over people. Now it's not for pride. Please listen.
The Bible says, believe in the Lord your God. Help them, please. Just help us under the anointing. So shall you be established. There are graces that when God gives a man, he will do something to your speaking. There will be an altar and a covenant in the realm of the spirit that backs your speaking. That you are able to program a climate of reality over the lives of people and over nations and over territories. Did he not tell Jeremiah? He said, this day I have set you over nations to tear down, to uproot, to build, to plant. There are graces that God has given to the sons of men, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to redirect the destinies of people, the ministries of people. When God granted me these things, you may have heard me say it in my teachings, that I vowed a vow before God that you will never have to see me twice to be blessed. I apologize if it sounds like pride, but it's the truth. You see, when God anoints people, listen carefully, among the many investments that he grants unto them, he does not just empower them with the anointing. There are levels of exploits in the kingdom that don't just come just because of the anointing. It comes because of covenant. God swears by himself and connects you to that covenant. Are we together? So this is not just an issue of anointing. This is an issue of a covenant. This was what made the word of Samuel to not fall to the ground. He was human. So what was so powerful about his word that always worked? Please listen, South Africa. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. When God grants us the opportunity and the privilege to come like this, it is because there are certain people who have come to the end of certain seasons. Listen, please. And you don't just move to the other side. He said, tell the people that they go forward. You have to say it. Just help those under the anointing. I'm about to declare over your life. We'll leave the miracle service for tomorrow so that we can have the time to minister. But tonight, I just want us to enter within the few minutes that I have. I want to speak over your life. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. Please hear me. I submit to you with all humility and without any sense of pride and prejudice. You see, if you believe this grace and your heart and your hand is opened, you will marvel and wonder at the power of God. Hallelujah. That you can speak to nations. You can speak to families. You can look at what is happening and say, thus far have you come, no further shall you go. You can look at an ordinary person with no sense of comeliness and say, I stand by the office that God has given, and I declare that the two lift gates be open. And that's it. It does not take a long time for God to enlarge and increase men. We just have not understood his system. Please listen. To receive from a prophet, there are two requirements. Number one, you must believe in the God of heaven who sends the man. It does not start by believing the prophet. That becomes idolatry.
the first person to believe is the one who empowered and sent the prophet. This is where we make a lot of mistakes. And sometimes we men of God get into the mistake of turning people's attention on us. A man cannot receive anything except it is given to him from God. But watch this now. When you believe in the Lord and you stop there, it is not enough. Because the earth has he given to the sons of men. Are we together now? The next assignment is to believe that the vessel and the prophet that God has sent carries the grace, the mantle, the covenant to truly be able to program that spiritual climate over you. You must believe it. Listen, you cannot give what you do not have. He said, such as I have, I give unto you. But I want to show you another mystery. It is true on one hand that you cannot give what you do not have. But there are people in the spirit who have what we call a kingmaker anointing. Listen, kingmakers never become kings themselves, but they enthrone and dethrone kings. There are many experiences God will anoint you for that you will not be given the privilege to enjoy yourself. These are mysteries in the kingdom that many believers do not understand. Samuel never became a king, but he could tell who God had rejected and he could tell who God had accepted. He was negotiating for Saul. God had to plead with him. How long shall you weep, seeing that I've rejected Saul as king? You are delaying another man's rising. David was having visions of himself, and yet the prophet said no when God had said yes. God had to plead with him. I can do without you, but my economy has factored you. Please go to the house of Jesse. And he reluctantly went there and looked at a young boy. And with that oil, that was it. For Saul, for David. Someone's life is about to change. I know what it means to be lifted. I know what it means to be helped by God. Men of God, no matter the techniques, there is a God factor in this thing. If the prophetic does not come, you will only weary yourself. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It is of the Lord that showeth men mercies, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. God shows us mercy. In 1 minute, every dimension you need to be enlarged into, please open your mouth and begin to declare. Spiritually, financially, you're in business. I want you to believe it. I'm releasing my faith with you. Pray 1 minute. I'd like you to declare.
Till there's only you, every other name fade away. Let every other name fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Let every other name fade away. Let every other name fade away. Till there's only you,
other name fade away. Jesus, take your place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please hear me. I speak, number one, as one sent. But I also speak as one who has the privilege of also receiving from the fathers of faith across my nation and across continents. You've heard me say I am a product of many anointings. Many anointings. In spite of my encounters with the Lord Jesus and the privilege of access that has come, in spite of my walk with God by the privilege of God's grace, I am a product of many anointings, lifted by prophecy, preserved by prophecy, garrisoned by the speakings of people who have a covenant with God. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare. Please hear me. Every season in your life that has stayed overdue and has refused to give way for the next, I stand by the rod of the apostolic and the prophetic, and I declare, new season, be opened now. New season, be opened now. 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 Please hear me. All blessings come from God through men to men. Nothing comes from God directly. From God through men to men. I stand as a prophetic midwife. Everything that has been released from heaven but is yet to make manifest, I stand by the covenant I have with the God of Jeshurun, the one who rides upon the wings of the wind. I release it to your destiny now. I release it to your destiny. I release it to your destiny now. In the name of Jesus, I release it to your destiny now. I release it to your destiny now. Please hear me. Please hear me. Hear me. I want to prophesy speed. The greatest index for measuring dominion is dominion over time, not over things. He said, I will restore. I want to prophesy. Everything you have lost, time that has gone, I speak over a family. I speak over a business by this mantle from heaven. I declare 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in Papa's whatever. 10 years in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. Yes, in 1 year. 10 years in 1 year. Listen carefully, please. Please pay attention. Don't be distracted. Listen, we're wrapping up. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Peter was bound in prison. Listen carefully. The prison is a place of confinement. It limits your potential, your creativity, your chance for exploits. Then the Bible says, verse 5, he was bound hand in chain, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him.
And then, follow this now. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, as he was sleeping between two soldiers, the prison door opened. And then verse 7, we're reading to 10. The angel of the Lord came to tap him and raised him up and said, arise quickly. The chains fell from his hand. Verse 8, the angel brought him, he girded his sandals and he said, follow me. Look at this now, verse 9. He followed him and did not know whether it was an angel or it was a vision he was having. Now watch this. Keep verse 10, please. The Bible says there were three gates that he passed. I want to speak something over your life. Watch this now. The first gate and door was the door of the prison. He was out of the prison, but he was not yet free. He came to the second gate. Then the Bible says he came to the iron gate that leads to the city. This is the gate that controls influence. Hear me. There is the gate that leads to the city. The city does not just receive you. There is the gate that leads to the city. I want to stand prophetically and open that iron gate over ministries, over businesses, by the mantle of God and the corporate anointing here. That iron gate that controls influence, Ephata, be open. Ephata, be open. Ephata, be open. Be open in Europe. Be open in America. Be open in Africa. Be open in South Africa. In the name of Jesus Christ. The iron gate that opens to the city. Can I tell you this, Jeremy? Just because you are in the nation does not mean the gate has opened for you. You can be in a nation for 30 years and yet the gates are still closed spiritually. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, open doors. And the gate said, who is this King of glory? South Africa, in the name of Jesus, any gates that have been shut over anyone here at this conference, by the power of the Holy Spirit, between now and the end of September, I declare, gates be open! 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 Please hear me. Listen. Please listen. The Bible says, and the king sent for Joseph, and they brought him out of his dungeon. There are kings that are empowered to send for you, but they do not just come on their own. There are gatekeepers who have what it takes to send for you. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy to the north, to the east, to the south and west, by the mystery of the four winds, I send sound to your destiny helpers. May they send for you. Please help them. May they send for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you believe in the favor of God? Give us Psalm 44 verse 3. We're wrapping up. Psalm 44 and verse 3. Please help us, media. Psalm 44 and verse 3. I want us to read it together. Ready? 1, 2. Okay, is it projected? Oh dear. 1, 2, read. Uh-huh.
How did they get the land in possession? Please hear me. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. Number two, the resources called the fullness. Number three, the systems. Number four, the inhabitants. These are the four things you must have access to have dominion in the earth. You must have, there must be an expression of faith that is in land. Are we together? There is no man that God blessed in the Bible that did not have a witness of land. Yes, sir. Go and read your Bible. There must be an expression of faith in land. He dug a well and the Philistines covered it. He dug another one, they covered it. He dug the third one and they left him and they called it Rehoboth. He said, God has given me my own space. God is a God of portions. I'm saying that because I want to call your own portion now. In the name of Jesus, over South Africa, over Africa, and over the earth, your portion of land and the fullness thereof that has been assigned for your assignment and your efficiency, I stand in the name of Jesus Christ and I blow a shofar. I command by the Spirit, may that land locate you. And may you locate that land by the Spirit of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is a mystery in the kingdom called the Book of Remembrance. The Bible says that night could not King Ahasuerus sleep. He said, bring me the chronicles. And they opened. Many of you have been part of the rising of others, but you have not been rewarded. You were forgotten. Mordecai saved the life of the king. The king would be no king without Mordecai. Yet he was still seated at the gate in shame. And that night, I'm about to prophesy. That night, Ahasuerus could not sleep. He said, bring me the chronicles. And he opened it and found where Mordecai saved his life. Found where you helped someone build this business. Found where you prayed for someone as a man of God. Sincerely gave your best. And the king said, what has been done to this man? And they said, nothing. He said, who is in the chamber there? And the very arch enemy of Mordecai and the people of God, Haman. He said, come. And he said, what should be done to so-so-so and so man? And he thought it was himself. So his greed made him to give a choice description. Let him have the king's royal apparel, ride upon his horse, and let everyone shout and say, so and so is done for the man who finds favor with the king. He said, immediately, let not one word fail. Do all of this to Mordecai. Listen to me. It was because of the forgetfulness of the wine presser that 2 years were added to the experience of Joseph in the prison. Because one man forgot, another person paid the price for 2 more years. Only God knows how many years you've been at the same position. Because the person mandated to speak, you are gifted, but you do not have access to the ears of the king. But the one who has access has forgotten you. I want to open the Book of Remembrance in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, everywhere you have been forgotten, tonight I open the Book of Remembrance in Jesus' name. I open the Book of Remembrance in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty. Emptiness has an explanation. Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. The B part says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Verse 17, the Bible says, the same Esther obtained favor. She found favor more than all the virgins. The proof of favor is not money. The proof of favor is access to the hearts of men. The favor you need for this new season of enlargement, I decree and declare, House of Treasures, South Africa, may that grace rest upon you now. Hear me? Many of you, by tomorrow, you will return with fearful testimonies of the workings of the hand of God. I declare this by the power that raised Christ from the dead. In the name of Jesus Christ. The final prophetic word, and we're done for tonight. Let me encourage you by the grace of God. My final session with you would be a miracle service. I would be showing you something, and then we're going to be praying for the sick and further speaking and opening the destinies of men. You will know that this was a conference where you encountered Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hear me. He said, thou shalt take Joshua, who is full of the Spirit, and you shall lay your hands upon him. Listen carefully. You shall take Joshua, in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. And he said, you shall take some of your honor. Honor is transferable. Listen. Honor is what makes a generation listen to you. It is not oratory. You can have what to say. People are not stupid. They don't just listen to you because you have what to say. It takes more than having what to say for a generation to pledge their loyalty and their attention upon you. It is the assignment of honor to give you the ears and the hearts of a generation. It says you shall take some of your honor and place upon him, so that the nation of Israel, the people, would listen to him. Please hear me. You do not have the hearts of nations just because you have something to say. I know what I'm saying. Acceptance is a product of honor. If God does not give you honor, you can be as sincere as possible, and you will be surprised that the gates of a generation will close towards you. They will appreciate you for the value you have, but you will remain there. But when that mantle for honor comes upon you, you will marvel and wonder. Honor, not just favor. Go to a street where the roads divide. You will see a colt that no man had ridden upon. Is that lose it and bring it, and if they ask you, say the master had need of it. That's more than favor. He needed a donkey for a triumphant entry. You don't walk on foot for a triumphant entry. Oh no. And they sang Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Every manifestation of shame and reproach over your life, over your ministry, every embargo that has sat on your destiny, recycling seasons of shame, recycling seasons of reproach, recycling seasons of rejection, in the name of Jesus, by this mantle of honor, I change that narrative over your life. The proverb, Ichabod, may it never be used on standing you again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. Return back home tonight and be an extension of the prophetic yourself.
Don't just lie down and sleep and lament over things. Go back and begin to declare. Lord, I have been commanded to prophesy. Fathers, go back and lay hands on your children, speaking prophetic words. Son, you will not be a failure. I activate the greatness that is locked up within you. Some of you may need to go to your empty land and walk around it and declare that in the name of Jesus, I release the finisher's anointing upon this project. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. We have to close tonight. Father, we give you all the praise and we honor you for South Africa, for House of Treasures. We thank you for this conference. Thank you for teaching us the prophetic dimension, that realities are both activated and managed by the power of the prophetic. Lord, that we will walk with this key and program infinite possibilities over our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, bring speed to testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Apostle, is it all right if I request for the people to come with their prayer requests tomorrow? Will that be fine? Okay. I just have your man of God's permission. Tomorrow night, in this place, by the grace of God, I want you to come with every request. Call your loved ones anywhere around the world and tell them, please send your request. By the grace of God, we are going to collate this request upon this altar. Let the God that answers by fire. As you write some of these things, I want you to wave certain conditions goodbye forever. Because as surely as the Lord lives, in this conference, these Egyptians that you see, you will see them no more forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, wave your hands and give Jesus all the praise. Wave your hands from side to side and bless the name.